Let's fucking get it on. Just, we got it. 3, 2, 1. Let's fucking get it on right now.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up.
It's Pure Boys.
Yeah, I got two throats.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up.
It's Pure Boys.
Say what? Yahweh! Ciao, Fudge Packers. Welcome to Pure Boys Podcast. I'm Adam, and you're in.
Oh, thank you so much for pitching it to me with her beautiful catchphrase, you're in. And I'm so delighted to talk about this week's movie because it accentuates a very funny pee joke.
Absolutely, yeah. Who are you?
I forgot all about that part of the intro. I am Steve, formerly from the Pure Boys and currently of the Pure Boys.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, it's no wonder Steve's excited because this week we're capping off May I Take My Clothes Off with the king of male stripper movies, 1997's The Full Monty, a movie I'd never seen in its entirety and not on television until today.
Hide nor hair?
I mean, like I said, I'd seen a they played this on television. I remember seeing it on like TV when I was younger, and then like watching it now, I went, why? Why did they show this on TV? This movie's got an R rating.
There's a lot of whys when it comes to this movie. The whole thing is a little bit of a why, but it also plays well. Like, it's also an entertaining movie. It's a head scratcher for me.
Yeah, I like The Full Monty quite a bit. I thought, I mean, in terms of like male stripper movies, it might be the best one we watched this whole month.
I would have to agree. Finally, some dudes have enough wang to show it on stage, and they're also British.
Yeah, they're also a bunch of chavs. No, that's that's Russian. Never. I don't know what the chuffs. They say chuffin' a lot in this movie.
Yeah, they're really bringing out the chuffin'. Also, a couple other phrases that I didn't know English people said.
Oh, well, I can't wait to find out a lot about them. And we also have a new segment this week. Very exciting, but we'll get to that in a little bit. And I guess we didn't announce this like last week. I put it in the description of Chocolate City 2, but who reads those and who cares, even though I work really hard on them. We are taking a break from midweek freak treats for the summer. We started watching Sons of Thunder Redemption and went, this show sucks, and all the shows we've watched have sucked since Malibu Dan, and we don't want to watch these shows anymore. We want to take a break because we're burning out on midweek freak treats. So we're taking a couple months off from that, but still getting regular reps.
Well, as everybody knows, the Haitian summer is very short. You got to get out there when you can. Enjoy the sun rays. Get your vitamin D.
Correct.
So we're taking a break. We're very humble to bring this news to you. Correct wording.
We're very
humble.
What's
the word that I wanted to use?
Humble. We're very humble, folks. And we're basically like peasants in the 16th century. We're serfs, and we're very humble. We're on our hands and knees in the dirt, begging for your forgiveness for no more midweek freak treats for the next 3 months. But you know what? When we come back, who the heck knows what we're going to be watching? I certainly don't, or care at this moment. But
we're going to take it as it comes. We don't know what's going to come in the future for the midweek freak treats.
Come.
Will it even happen?
Who knows, right? But either way, gosh, the Christian television is just the worst. And we just don't want to watch it anymore for a little bit. And, you know, I tried to convince Steve to watch some Seventh Heaven, but he doesn't want to support a pedophile. And I went, I totally respect that. Who does want to respect a pedophile? Well, obviously The Full Monty, because they play Rock and Roll Part 2 by Gary Glitter, but that's a whole other thing entirely. But, you know, so probably not going to do Seventh Heaven, but who knows what's going to come out of it. Maybe nothing, maybe something.
When you're thinking about The Full Monty, though, you got to be thinking in 1997 terms. I guess Seventh Heaven was...
that era, too, yeah.
In the 90s as well, so that doesn't track. But everybody... put on your sunglasses and then take them off and feel like you're in 1997, because that's where we are.
Amen to that. Yeah. You know, when I think of the Full Monty, all I can think about is that episode of the Drew Carey Show where they did a Full Monty performance and they had those boxes on their dingers and they spun the boxes at one point. That's like, that was my main knowledge of the Full Monty for many, many years. And I was fully expecting them to put boxes on their dingers and spin them in this movie too. But spoiler alert, they don't. They go a different direction with their performance.
But that does bring up an interesting point in how invasive this movie was in just normal culture for a long period of time. Like, everybody was doing spoofs off of it.
Mm-hmm.
People were talking about the Full Monty all the time. Old ladies were just getting their rocks off for maybe the first time ever, and it was a delightful thing.
To Robert Carlyle and a cavalcade of other British actors who you know and love from other things. Well, some of them. Some of them, I don't know who the hell they are at all. Like that ginger guy, I don't know who that is. Who cares?
He's got a sexual nerddom to it, and I think the casting was absolutely perfect for that man.
I think the casting is... Well, anyway, we're getting too deep into the Full Monty.
Mm-hmm.
We, of course, there's a very important question that we need to... Oh, right, you're absolutely right. We need to do the Pure Boy's Prayer. I'm jumping way ahead. I'm already getting looms to Beggar Vance of the Chocolate City 2 was. But we have to do, of course, the Pure Boy's Prayer.
God bless our podcast.
God bless all podcasts.
Please.
We love you. Amen.
Amen.
Or a woman. Beautiful prayer. Beautiful sentiment. I did like the please. I thought that was a nice, or thank you, whatever you said. It's already leaking out of my brain. Please.
It was please, yeah. It was definitely please. I really felt like I wanted to beg for it this go around.
We've already established that prayer is just begging, and so why not really lean into the begging? And I would be fine with incorporating please more into the Pure Boys Prayer. We have three opportunities to say it, so... Well, we love you, please, doesn't really...
Yeah, no, that's the one that needs to be in there.
You're absolutely right.
For
sure. We love you, please.
Maybe the other pleases are out, and we love you, please, at the end. All right,
I like that. Okay, tune in next week for I Love You, Please, We Love You, Please. Now, I'm so excited because I have to ask you a very important question, and we're finally getting to it. Oh, you've been waiting. You've been aching for it. And that question is, of course, whomst was the Beggar Vance of Chocolate City 2... Vegas Strip: Vegas.
I have completely shut this movie out. I do know it's a ripoff of XXL, so...
Correct.
I mean, the bigger fans of that movie was the bus driver doing his impressions.
Ah, what was your favorite impression that he did?
I forget the name of the comedian, the Vegas comedian that he...
Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah, that's the one. Hey,
I'm walking here. I'm Christopher walking here. That's a good Dice impression.
That's great. Now, Adam, whoops, do you think was the Beggar Vance of Chocolate City 2 Vegas Strip?
Oh, well, Steve, thank you so much for asking. Obviously, Andrew Dice Clay is right up there as the Beggar Vance of Chocolate City 2 Beggar Vance, or whatever it's called. But for me... the Beggar Vance of Chago City 2 was, of course, Magic Mike Double XL. Because without Magic Mike Double XL, we would have no Chocolate City. They would have no story for Chocolate City 2, Vegas Strip: Vegas. It is a complete wholesale ripoff of Magic Mike Double XL. And without it, what would they have to rip off the Full Monty and get a bunch of, like, dumpy dudes to strip at this club? No way, not at Chocolate City. So that's it.
You owe this movie to Twitch and Magic Mike XXL in general.
Amen. You do owe this movie to Twitch. And this movie, by that we mean Chocolate City 2, Vegas Strip, Vegas, should definitely pay Twitch a hefty sum for stealing this movie.
Hashtag pay Twitch.
That's right. Hashtag we love you, please. All right. Beautiful. Okay, do we want to get to the new segment and then get to everyone's favorite segment?
Yeah, I guess. I'm all a titter.
All right. Well, if you follow our Twitter, which we have like three, maybe four real followers, and then a bunch of like Christian lunatics who follow us who don't appreciate what we do at all on there, you might have seen that we now have a what's called a SpeakPipe profile. So SpeakPipe is a website where you can leave voicemails for podcasters, usually is what it's for. So if you go to speakpipe.com/pureboys, you can leave us a voicemail that we will then play on the show. We're not listening to them beforehand, so please don't say the N-word or anything like that. I mean, just don't. Please don't do that. We have one exciting thing. We have an exciting voicemail from a fan of the show, friend of the show, a man named Doug Gilmore. Perhaps you've heard of him. Yiz fan Doug Gilmore.
Oh, yeah. He's the face of Yiz.
He's got Yiz on his face. Correct. And so we have a voicemail from him, and we're going to play that on the show. I don't know who this is actually from. It's probably from Doug Gilmore. And yeah. Hey, all pressure on you, listeners. If you give us a dud voicemail, oh, God. We're not going to be happy if these are duds. So this one's like 50-some seconds, so it better be good because you're chewing up a bunch of time on our show.
Yeah, I'm going to take a break.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Here's the message. I hope this doesn't suck.
Yeah, hello. This is Dougie Gilmore, Toronto Maple Leafs favorite player or whatever. I was a big deal. Anywho, just wanted to say, love the show. Love these pure fellas. It's all good stuff. You know, thank you for the shout outs multiple times. I really appreciate that. I just want to say, I saw Wayne over there on fucking Twitter chilling NFTs, that motherfucker. So I thought, you know, Dougie, I thought to myself, you gotta get in the NFT game. So all I'm saying is, pure fellas, when the time comes, buy into your Dougie Gilmore NFT. It's a picture of me, but like I look like a monkey and I'm smoking a joint. All right, Dougie out.
Great. Perfect. That was perfect. Thank you, Doug. I do love that Doug Gilmore has a real rough Brooklyn-ish accent. I think that's
New Yorkian. Obviously, that was our New York listener doing a voice.
Of course. Yeah, our New York listener who loves the show. Not even doing a voice. Just saying his name is Doug Gilmore. Maybe our New York listener is Doug Gilmore. Who knows? I don't know.
I think we figured it out, and that's the solution to the problem that we've been having. I love that Doug Gilmore is chiefing on the kind bud. That's pretty cool.
Did you say Doug Gilmore? Because I think that would be a great name if he was like a Twitch streamer or like a Call of Duty player or something like that. It's a dope name.
Yeah, it's probably his nickname for the dark web.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably his nickname when he was cross-chopping people's forearms in the NHL. Was Doug Gilmore a dirty player? I don't know anything about Doug Gilmore other than he loves the taste of hot, frothy Yiz.
Well, he loves Yiz. He loves when it coats his throat.
Yeah.
But from what I remember, which is not a lot, he was a really good player, but it was during the late 80s and early 90s, and I think a lot of people were just dirty then. So that's why he also has that New York brutish way about him, which accented his tough exterior.
Absolutely.
And he just wouldn't stop talking about Yiz. And that's where he gets it from.
That Doug Gilmore, he's a Brooklyn boy. Brooklyn born and raised, and loves his home. Loves the boroughs. And we love you, Doug.
Yeah, we love you, Doug. Stay classy.
We love you, please. Okay, now it's time for... That was a great segment. I can't wait to get more voicemails from people. Make sure they're good. Make sure that... Because you're playing them sight unseen on the show, so if they suck, that's on you. And make sure to put your real name, of course, attached to it so we can make fun of you personally. But obviously not for this one because it was so great. So thank you, Doug. And rock on, huh?
We stand with you, Doug.
That's right. We stan Amber Heard, we stan Jada Pinkett Smith, and now we stan Dougie Gilmore, Brooklyn's finest.
And Chucky from Rugrats.
That's right. And Chuck E. Cheese. Why not? Why not? The E stands for entertainment. His full name is Charles Entertainment Cheese. Isn't that cool?
I was dubious until you said why not, and you explained what his name means. That's pretty cool.
Hey, why not?
Why not?
Well, time to get to everyone except ours' favorite segment of the week.
the Kevin Sorbo Tweet of the Week.
Kevin!
All right, Kevin Sorbo pushed this tweet out at 1:16 p.m. on May 20th, 2022. This tweet came up. The tweet is a short one, but it's a good one, and it's always relevant and prevalent. Lock her up, period.
Are you sure that this tweet came out in 2022 and not, like, 2016, 2015?
No, it is as true today as it was in 2015, 2016. Lock her up. Get those emails sorted.
That's right.
She did a bad thing.
Remember Benghazi? Don't forget Benghazi. Get those emails out of here. Lock her up for emailing people.
I think he's probably talking about his wife.
Oh, definitely. He's been bird dogging Sam for the last, I don't know, month at least, that we've seen anyway. Who knows how long it's been going on behind closed doors.
Yeah, he's on the toilet, he's pooping out a bad one from lunch, and he's just thinking about his wife and how he wants to lock her up and move on with his life.
Just picturing his, like, Sam making lunch for him like they're in a prison, and she's just crushed glass and put it into his food, and she's like, yeah, push this one out, Kev, good luck to ya.
Lock her up!
Lock her up! Attempted murder, lock her up! But not for Kevin Sorbo, because he brought masculine men back.
And he's the prince of Persia.
Oh, was that announced? I'm so excited to see that.
He's the Christian version of Prince of Persia. I think they're just doing Moses. A shot-for-shot remake, but with him.
I would love that. If he was playing Moses, and he was running on walls, and turning back time with the sands of time, or a dagger, or whatever those games are about.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you.
Well, they're just using the face swap app.
Oh.
And putting Kevin Sorbo's face on.
Glitching over Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. And they're putting it on PureFlix. They did it.
Wow. Those lazy swine. We love you, Kev.
I really want them to do that.
Yeah. To just be like, you know what? F it. Who cares anymore? Yeah. We're just taking old movies. We're face swapping. And then we're just putting it on PureFlix. We're cutting out the nasty business.
Taking plots and ideas from other shows and movies, we're just gonna start face swapping. We're gonna use our iPhones. They're really good.
We're gonna film our computer screens on our iPhones using the face swap app, and unfortunately it's not gonna be very good because we can't really it's just gonna run the whole time, so every character is going to have Kevin Sorbo's face at one time or another. It's gonna be very distracting.
We should not give this idea to PureFlix and use it for ourselves and just put like hundreds of movies on a streaming service or for our own creation and put our faces on
it. We'll just call it Pure Boys Flix, and it'll just be our version of it. And good luck trying to stop us, PureFlix. You don't own the name Pure Boys Flix. You didn't copyright that. Yeah. They might.
Okay. Pure Boys Flix.
Your boys flicks, eat fresh. We really have like a John Lovett Subway commercial vibe to us.
Mm-hmm. That's basically what we do.
Yeah, we lay in our beds and we record our podcast just staring at our phones, face swapping each other, and eating fresh.
Now, Adam, have you tried any of the new Subway sandwiches that they've released?
I haven't eaten a Subway sandwich in years. Why would you eat garbage like that when you could go to a... If you're going to get fast food subs, go to Quiznos or something where at least it's, like, kind of good. They got that pink lemonade drink that's good.
Ah, pink lemonade. The bane of my existence. I hate pink lemonade. Oh. Keep lemonade yellow.
You were drinking it the other day.
Yeah, I like it quite a bit. It adds a little nicety to it. But as far as I'm concerned, and as a pea... I stand with yellow.
All right, another thing we stand. Are you saying stand or stan?
I think I'm saying stand.
It's me, your biggest fan. This is stand. This week, let's go, let's God.
This is a very giggly episode, I feel.
Yeah, we're having fun. It's locker room talk. We're talking about the Full Monty, the finest of the male stripper movies.
all the segments are now over. You can sit on your hands and just listen to our opinions of this movie that is good.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and listen to us just praise this movie. Get on our hands and knees and praise it. Or throw shade. I don't know. There's some weird stuff in this movie, I'll tell you that much.
The whole plot is very weird, and it, like, gets shoehorned in very quickly. And instead of these men getting jobs or, like, figuring out real solutions, they decide to put on, like, a stripper view.
Well, yeah. Like, it's the way that Robert Carlyle pitches it to everyone is like, we're going to make so much money doing this. And in my mind, I'm like, I mean, yeah, one time you're going to make a bit of money. He's like, oh, there's going to be 1,000 women there. Not in this little podunk pub. Like, the guy sells 200 tickets. It's like, he's like, we already made $2,000. Yeah, split seven ways. Like, when you're not going to, you, like, Robert Carlyle is trying to get $700 so he can, like, maintain a relationship with his son and pay some kind of back fees. But then those fees are going to keep coming, and there's no way he made $700 off of doing this show. What's your plan, Robbie C?
Unless they get a cut of the alcohol, which I'm pretty sure they do not.
They do
and
not.
Nobody's throwing money at them while they're stripping. So they definitely won't make enough money at all. This could be a career future for him if he gets a bunch of different guys to do it and he manages them, which I assume is his plan.
He's a real D-Ray Davis, that's for sure.
Yeah, he just has no plan whatsoever. But he's like, this is the best plan he's ever had in his entire life still, because his other schemes include stealing beams, steel beams from the factories that are closed.
I love one of the opening lines of this movie sounds like it's straight out of Austin Powers, and it's in the delivery, but somebody goes like, who's going to buy a rusty girder? And it's just like, oh, groovy, baby. Just 100% an Austin Powers line reading. A rusty girder. I don't even know who says it.
I think it's Robert Baratheon.
That's true. Robert Baratheon is in this movie, a.k.a. Like, watching this movie, I was like, this guy should have played Fred Flintstone at one point. And then I was informed by Steve himself that he did play Fred Flintstone in Flintstones of Viva Rock Vegas.
Yeah, he's the number two in this movie, and well-deserved, because he has to deal with a lot of male body issues.
I love that his arc is just like, I'm fat and gross, and then you see him and you're like, actually, compared to 2022, you're in pretty good shape, man. Like, you don't look that bad. Your body doesn't have, like, fat rolls everywhere like most men in 2022, present company included, meaning me.
Yeah, I got into the fat rolls. This guy's very svelte, and
yeah.
He's got one of those bellies that does stick out, like, a little bit, but it's, like, tight. It's,
It doesn't, like...
It's, nice.
It doesn't hang down. It just, like... It just goes out a little bit.
It's a pussy getter.
Well, I mean, he did get some, that's for sure.
He has a lovely wife that is completely devoted to him and is nice to him in every way, but he's just a shell of himself. This town Sheffield that they're all in used to be a booming steel town, and now there's no jobs for anyone, so they're all trying to make a buck or kill themselves. It's a very funny setting for a movie like this.
That really is like the only two options in the town. Go to the job office or kill yourself. Which one do you want to do? And various people throughout the movie choose various options.
Yeah. This is good script writing. Like, they create a problem. They show this terrible main character that is down on his luck and comes up with this stupid idea to strip, but he follows it through.
What I love about this stupid idea to strip is that, like, they could just get jobs. Jobs are being thrown at them left, right, and center. Everyone is offered jobs all the time in this movie, and all of them are like, no, we have to strip once.
Yeah.
Only once. That's the only time it's going to work. So no one's coming back for this show. It's like it's a freak show. We want to see these dumpy dudes strip once and then bring back the beef. That's all.
And one of them has a job as a security guard.
Right?
One of them is like a construction guy, so he gets some labor. The main actor is offered a job for $2.50 an hour, which this is, you know, 97 mm-hmm. and European dollars. So I don't know what the translation is, like $1 million an hour or
pence,
something.
Pence, or yeah. quid, stupid names for things. Oh, we're going to make 10,000 quid. All right, what is that, like $5? I have no idea. That's trash money, pal. I don't know what that means.
This is very much skipping ahead, even for me, but Robert Baratheon does get a job as yeah. a security guard, and then they're like begging him to come strip with us, and it's just like, just let him have his job, man. Like, he doesn't need to strip anymore.
Well,
it's over.
But also, like, he works during the day, so he could definitely go to the strip show at night, but instead he just chooses to quit his job to go to a funeral. It's like, you're a dumb idiot. You're all dumb idiots.
That's what was so weird for this movie, is that, like, these characters and the plot and everything is just asinine. Like, it's crazy, but you also enjoy it a lot because it's written well, the jokes are fun, and you just go along for it.
I gotta say, I don't think I laughed at anything in this movie. This movie mostly made me sad to watch. Like, it was... Like, I get that it's like this feel-good thing or whatever, and is it based on a true story?
Probably. Yeah, I would assume so.
It seems like the kind of thing, like this and like Calendar Ladies and like that kind of crap, where it's just like, oh, a bunch of dumpy people who you don't want to see naked are showing you their business, and that's a feel-good, fun story. Especially when they do it in front of a child.
Oh, yeah. Especially when they do it in front of the child. They have a lackey child with them the full way, and he's meant to be a comedic piece, but it is sad at a lot of points, especially when the kid just, like, doesn't want to be there. He knows this is toxic and terrible and is trying to get out of it, but his dad keeps pulling him back in and mm-hmm. not improving.
Oh, no, not getting any better. Not doing anything better. Just stealing and just being a real piece of trash. And, like, the scene where they're trying out the new strippers, where they're auditioning strippers, and that guy comes in and just drops his pants and shows his hammer to that kid. It's just like, I can't believe it. Like, this, the dad is like, this is good. This is fine. Yeah. Show your big dinger to my son, please, who's probably, I don't know, 11 years old. Show it right to him. That's great.
This movie has weird reactions to things because on one hand, they're like sexist and homophobic and like terrible reactions, but also they can appreciate a really nice, huge dong.
Oh, yeah. They get it.
Kind of crazy to me. And yeah, the kid is there, and like, I think it takes like a moment or two before he asks them to like shut his eyes, but he's in the other side of the room and has no control over this situation.
Oh yeah, he's just mouth agape, just eyes wide, just you can see the whites all the way around his eyes, just looking at this guy's huge dinger. Also, yeah. There's another guy on the crew named Horse, but but that guy doesn't have a big dinger. And even though it's like implied that he does, he's like, I got the biggest. Hey, why didn't they call me Horse? But then it's like, that's not his thing. His thing is like, I'm a breakdancer. Well, I feel like you mixed up characters. I feel like you accidentally swapped lines with this other guy.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird flub in this movie because they're literally auditioning a man named Horse. They're talking to each other as if they know it's, you know, big package innuendo.
Yeah.
And it's all setting it up that he has the big dink. And then he gets added to the crew because he dances like a maniac.
Oh, he's great.
In a good way.
He's great.
And then the next guy has a big dink. What happened?
Like, the guy who tries to run up a wall and falls on his back, and they're all like, I don't know if you can do this. And he goes, let me show you my dinger. And they go, whoa, we're going to call you Horse. And Horse is like, no, that's my name.
I'm a horse. I'm the horse.
Like, what if he did have a big dinger, but then that guy had a bigger dinger, and they were just like, you're out, Horse. You get out of here. We don't need you anymore.
Well, I thought that might have been the play, is that this was the bigger dinger out of the big dingers, but that's not even brought up again. Horse, I don't even know if they call him Horse again throughout the entire movie. Maybe once?
I don't think they do. I don't think they ever refer to him as Horse ever again in the movie. Like, at the end of the movie, he's like, my name is Barrington. They're like, oh. Is that a type of horse? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't need to know these things. It seems it's a weird plot. And that's like the 2 out of 3 stripping interviews. that are done.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is very sad.
Oh my god. It's the saddest part of this movie, probably, when it's just this guy, like, they're doing the stripper interviews or auditions in the old abandoned steel mill that's just the most depressing environment, and it's just three grubby dudes and a child just making men take their clothes off for them, and that first guy is so sad and he doesn't do a good job, and they're like, yeah, we're not gonna go with you, man. He's like, okay, I gotta go, my kids are in the car. Like, what?
I thought this was gonna like start a montage of a bunch of guys being like super depressed,
yeah,
needing money and like crying while they take their clothes off and dance, because that's what happens with the first guy. But then they just show two more and it's fun again.
Oh yeah, it's great. Yeah, they bring the big dingers in. Bring in the big dingers. Yeah. We need more fun, as Coach Bombay would say.
Maybe the last guy doesn't have a big dinger. Maybe it's just beautiful. Maybe it's got like a light behind it.
Well, I mean, they do call it like he brought his lunchbox, they say. So it makes me,
I don't know.
It makes me think he's got a fat chode. Like, that's what maybe it's not a big dinger. Maybe it's just a weird misshapen one. And they're just like, whoa, the ladies are going to want to see that.
Whoa.
You crash into them all. So who do we got in this crew? We got Robbie C. We got Robbie B. We got an old man who used to be their foreman, and now they all got fired 6 months ago, but he didn't tell his wife, and now his life is falling apart. Way to go, bozo.
Yeah, but he's cool. Tom Wilkinson, the most beautiful man in showbiz.
Oh, yeah, with the hottest bod.
Have you looking at the picture of Horse on IMDb or like other pictures of him? He looks completely different.
Have I looking at the picture of Horse on IMDb? No, I hasn't.
Yeah.
Let's see. The full...
He looks like a very strong, like, muscle guy, and he doesn't look like that at all. And he's kind of lanky and...
He's kind of wiry. He looks like...
He looks like Mike Tyson.
Yeah, but like more wiry and gaunt.
No, like in his picture on IMDb.
Oh, like, damn. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see what you mean. Holy cow. Yeah, this guy looks like a monster.
Right? He looks like a bruiser.
Absolutely he does. Huh. Paul Barber.
Yeah.
Go by Horse.
Yeah, and also stop making last names professions.
Yeah, this isn't Ellis Island. We don't need to be calling people, you know, Bill Shoemaker. We don't need that kind of crap anymore.
Actually, I kind of like Shoemaker. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Bill Shoemaker.
But like Cobbler?
get out of here, boo. Call people Gay Carpenter. That's the only name we want.
They crucified me.
Oh. Did you know that they're making a Full Monty television series? Like a limited edition television series? A short run thing?
Now?
Man, everything old is new again. It's time to bring these old geese bags back. Tom Wilkinson's dead and in the ground. Bring them back. And it's probably going to be them training the next generation of dumpy losers to take their clothes off one time for women for 40 quid.
The factories were booming again in the early 2000s. Now they're dead.
Yeah.
And the next generation is killing themselves.
In 1998, all the factories reopened. And they were just like, oh, if only we would have held on a little longer. Oh, we can't get our old jobs back.
Oh, no. What did you think about the Chippendales dancers and that Chippendales came to town and spurred this whole thing?
I thought it was fine. I don't know. None of those guys are that hot. Like, their bodies are okay. I mean, but I've been spoiled with Magic Mike's and Chocolate Cities. I've seen, like, pinnacle male bodies for the last 4 weeks. Seeing even, like, what is considered the hot ones, I just go like, they're not really that defined. They're kind of soft, twinky bodies, and I don't know. The construction worker guy in the crew, the guy with the big lunchbox, he's got a better body than like all of those Chippendale dancers combined.
I have to assume that guy stripped at some point, because he just seems like he's looking at the audience in a certain way. He's moving in a very fluid stripper way. This guy strips.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely he does. Well, he definitely did it one time. And you know what? Not because he had to, but because he had such a hot body he wanted to. Because that's how male stripping works.
Well, yeah, he's probably the best construction man in town, but he wants to strip.
Yeah, he knows he's got the goods. He knows that people want to see what he's packing for lunch.
Do we ever find out why Horse wants to strip? I guess he's, like, out of a job, we know that, but, like, they don't have any more backstory on him, do they?
Well, no, he's got a bunch of women in his family I guess he's got to provide for or something. I'm not sure.
Who are those women? Because he brings along his, like, auntie and his wife and his mother-in-law?
And his niece.
Oh, and his niece to watch their strip review. So they can get ready for their big show.
Exactly. Like, they need an audience to, like, practice in front of before their big show. And so he just brings his blood relatives. And is like, all right, now I'm going to do the full Monty in front of you. And they go, I don't know. You don't have to maybe do the full Monty. Maybe do half Monty or something.
Three-quarter Monty.
Right?
Like, don't get weird with it.
Well, one quarter Monty, even. Like, I can't think of a group of people I'd want to take my clothes off for less than blood relatives. Literally, yeah. Anyone else would have been fine. But don't put my mom and my niece in the crowd, please, for the love of God.
Get a couple chaps from the pub.
Yeah, get a couple cunts from the pub.
There needed to be more poops in this movie. I didn't even believe that this was happening in the UK because there wasn't enough poops.
I didn't see any poops. I didn't see any the Keno. I didn't see any like slot machines in pubs. None of that stuff. So how can you even believe that you're in England?
Crisps.
Well, we do get crisps. We do get some crisps. After Tom Wilkinson gets all of his stuff repossessed from his house, he shows up at Robert Carlyle's and he's like, they took everything. And Robert Carlyle's like, wow, they left you your crisps. And he's eating a pack of fish and crisps. He's eating some crisps.
Yeah, he is.
There's some funny lines in this movie. Like when they're initially trying to like pitch to Tom Wilkinson that they want to strip, and like it's Robert Carlyle and Robert Baratheon pitching to him that they want to strip, and he goes, well, you can't do it. You're fat and he's thin and you're both fucking ugly. And all I could think was, yeah, all British people are ugly. All of them, top to bottom. Show me an attractive British person. You can't. They don't exist. Who?
Top to bottom?
Top to bottom. Show me one. I defy you. Show me one attractive British person. That isn't...
I was going to say Simon Pegg, but no. Well, Benedict Cumberbatch, no.
No, no. Horse face, gross. Gaunt body, no thanks. I love that you went.
Man, we should just rake a British man over the coals for our podcast.
I love that I was like, tell me any hot British people, and you went with men. Your first instinct was to go Simon Pegg, Benedict Cumbersnatch.
Yeah.
No, bad, none of them.
Well, I think all British females are beautiful.
Really? Because I couldn't tell you one in this movie. Not a single one.
What was that? Heather Cumberbatch?
That was Heather Cumberbatch. You're absolutely right. My apologies. Yes. The hottest of the hots. She's nifty on her pins.
Is that a turn of phrase? I've never heard that before.
It's something that somebody says in this movie about Flashdance when they're watching Flashdance. Mm. Oh, she's nifty on her pins. Like, all right, guys, calm down.
The only line in this movie I had written down was, he's fat, you're thin, and both of you are ugly. You can't dance.
Yeah, I can't think of a single hot British person. The Queen? Nah.
Yeah, the Queen's great. The
Queen's a babe. Prince Charles and
Angela Merkel.
German, but fine. We'll accept it.
Who am I thinking about? I was thinking of the person who married the prince. What's her name? It's not Angela Merkel. That's the British prime or German prime
minister. Oh, Meghan Markle?
Yeah.
Well, she's American, isn't she?
Yeah, it could be.
She's a commoner, I think. She's not. She doesn't have royal blood. She's a filthy commoner. She's a pig.
I don't think we should be calling people pigs. Well, and they're from the West. So if exactly. They were from Europe, maybe it would be fair play. But
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think one of the craziest things to happen in this movie is when their former boss that laid them all off finally gets an interview with a company, can mm-hmm. save his entire life mm-hmm. and all that he holds dear, and they ruin it for him. by holding up gnomes in the window.
His gnomes.
And, well, his gnomes in the window, of course. That's why he can't lay his eyes off of them. And the reason why they're ruining his interview is so they can strip for them and help them dance.
One time. Once. One,
to make like a couple of hundred quid.
Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe. It's crazy.
It's crazy. The fact that this is seen as like a feel-good movie when it's just... Yeah. The most depressing, dumb idiots getting ruining their lives, having one night of fun, and then back to the gutter, and that's it.
Yeah.
The movie ends. The movie doesn't, we don't even see what happens to them. It's just like, and then they whip their dingers out in front of all these women, freeze frame, the end. Like, it, at the end, it should have said, like, they all died in the gutter within the next 5 months. They were all found face down in the gutter.
And he comes back to the unemployment office and just loses it on him.
Oh, yeah.
But it might be the most, like, needed losing of your mental capacities to yell at people I've ever seen. Because, like, frick these people.
Yeah.
You want me to strip for you?
Yeah. You've ruined my life. Like, he says to him, he's like... My wife doesn't know that I don't have a job anymore. We're racking up credit card debt. If I got this job, I could have got my first month in advance, and then me and my family would have been fine. But instead, now I have to teach these bozos how to strip and then take my clothes, show my dinger to everybody. I'm 65 years old. That's it for me. I'm not... This is it. I can't do anything else after this. Good news for Tommy W, though. He does end up getting that job. It does come through at the end. And then they try to talk him out of accepting it. Like, he gets the job, shows up in the suit, and they're like, oh, but come on, you gotta come strip with us. And he's like, no. Like, okay, for one time at night, fine. But no, I'm taking the job. I'm going to a real job.
Yeah, he's putting on his job helmet, and he's taking the job. Thank goodness, because this is a one-time stripping event.
Yeah.
This is insane. This saves a man's life, is stripping one time. And it's so crazy.
Like, what do they think they're going to do after this? Take it on the road? Drive to another town as a bunch of dumpy idiots and show their dingers to a group of people that don't know them? Newsflash, guys. Nobody cares outside of your community. Nobody wants to see your dinger outside of your community. And even then, they're only there to, like, out of morbid curiosity. Like you said, no one's throwing money. No one's, like, no one's helping them in any way. They're just like, well, I guess there it is. Okay, great. Now we've seen Robert Carlyle's dinger. Now can we go home? Can I go play the slot machines?
Well, I thought there was a calendar or something to raise money involved in this other than just, like, raising the money for themselves so they can pay off their child bills.
Which, but not going to make enough money to do that.
No, not going to have enough money to do that. The fact that this might be based on a real story is unbelievable to me. This is true.
Vamp for a second. I'm going to look that up. I want to know if it's based on... I should have looked this up beforehand. My apologies.
My wife watched this movie with me because she's so kind to watch these male stripping movies during May I Take My Clothes Off. And both of us were just flabbergasted throughout this whole movie. It, like, for some reason, it locks you in and you go along for the ride. But I feel like a movie wouldn't get made like this nowadays. It just, like, it's inconceivable that all these troubles and all these things happen and their solution is to strip for it in a small town in the UK.
So, okay. So, I don't think it was based on a true story.
Yeah.
I don't think
so. Well, let's make it that.
Yeah, we should make it that, right? But I did find some funny information about... I'm going to read you this thing off of IMDb, because it's going to blow your mind.
IMDb.
Off of Wikipedia. My apologies. The cast allegedly agreed that all six of them would really do the full Monty strip at the end in front of 50 extras, provided they only had to do one take. So they really flashed their dingers at everybody in that club at the end. Again,
that's cool.
For 50 people. Like, they sold 200 tickets, 50 people showed up, and they're like, all right, well, Robert Carlyle and Robert Baratheon will show you their penises if you're down with that, I guess. And then he said...
And I would have to assume that a quarter of those people were friends, family, and close relationships. So they probably paid money that's coming out of your pocket to go to this show.
Oh, yeah. Right?
So that's lost money.
The climactic scene, this is a quote from Hugo Spear, one of the actors in the movie from 2019. The climactic scene was nuts. It was in a very cold working men's club starting at about midday. Sure, sure, Hugo. Yeah, whatever. The makeup and costume girls knew how we were feeling, so they were thrusting glasses of alcohol into our hands between takes. So everyone's hammered at this point. The extras had smuggled in booze, too. They weren't aware we were going to go all the way. That was a bit of smarts on the producer's part. So it was a completely natural reaction they got at the end.
Or sexual harassment.
Yeah, or
just... whichever way you cut it.
The fact that they're like, they didn't know. All these women had no idea we were going to show them our penises. And then we showed them our dirty old dingers at the end of a long, drunken day of filming.
This is a job. They snuck in booze and they forced them to see their dingers. This is not good.
Robert Carlyle also said the Full Monty was a tough shoot. It really, really was horrible.
Horrible.
That's what he said.
Horrible.
Well, sure, it's a depressing movie.
I mean, it is depressing, and maybe the conditions were bad, but it doesn't seem like he's doing anything crazy. Like, we're introduced to him stripping in some fog lights out of a vehicle, and even that's not strenuous. He didn't have to climb up the wall and fall.
No, certainly not. Neither did the guy who did it. They don't even show him climb up the wall and fall.
They cut away and clop, 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 and then crash,
right.
And then he's on the ground.
Yeah, a horse comes in, and then he crashes, and that's it.
Whoa!
Whoa! Crash into a horse. So this... Also, I guess that there was a novelization of this movie, and now I want to read that novelization very badly. I just want to read how they describe the last scene. Like, how that's written in the book, and... Like, what is it from someone's perspective? Is it just like, and then they took their hats away from their dingers and freeze frame and roll credits, the end of the book, just like the Bible.
Also, without the like visuals and the like these characters, you get drawn into them because of the acting and the performances. Without all that in the book, how is this going to come off? Like, it's probably just going to be sad.
Yeah, it's just going to be depressing. It's going to be Angela's Ashes. It's just going to be this, like, sad tale of depressed men in a dumpy crap town whipping their... This is the only time male stripping is sad in the history of male stripping. It's the only time it's a sad thing to do.
Yeah. They took an honest look at stripping in the 90s for males that are out of work other places, for sure.
It really is like this is so if you're a hot guy, male stripping is the best thing ever. If you're a dumpy guy, then you have the same trajectory as any woman stripper. You do it out of necessity. It's very sad. You're in a bad environment and you have no agency and your life sucks at this point. This is the low point for you if you're a dumpy guy getting into stripping.
Yeah, it really shines a mirror on society, doesn't it?
Certainly does, yeah. And the fact that one of those guys is a pigeon-chested little tosser.
I think that's something that endeared me to this movie when I was a kid, was just like, British slang is so mumbly and fun, and they come up with the weirdest phrases. It's such a delight.
Oh, yeah. What did you think of the hot stuff scene? That's like a famous scene in this movie, apparently. That was almost cut because it was deemed unbelievable, I guess, but...
Can you remind me what the hot stuff? Because I know they dance a little bit in the line.
That's
and
it.
It's hot stuff.
That's the scene.
That's the one.
That's the scene, yeah.
Well, they're also giddy about male stripping, and it comes out on the loudspeaker when they're in line to get their checks, I guess?
I guess so. I don't know where they are. It's, like, not clear where they are, although I can assume that they're at, like, the unemployment offices or something like that. It has to be something like that, getting their pogey.
And then the main character looks upon his crew. Everything's distraught. They don't know if they're going to be able to strip. And he just sees the joy of stripping within them.
Oh, yeah. They're all air humping strangers in front of them. They're all daggering the other old dumpy Sheffield homeless population.
See, like, there is a cute moment where there's the things I talked about the leader seeing his crew, you know, loving stripping. But I feel like that scene was just written so they could show men air humping the people in front of them. Like, that's it.
100%. It's such a low-key scene. Like, it's not like it escalates into something. It's just like... Yeah. it's just them kind of tapping their feet and then just air humping when she says hot stuff. And then Tom Wilkinson does like a twirl and that's the end. And I went, oh, that's like the famous scene of this movie. Like, blink and you miss it. You don't even, if you're not paying attention, like, that's nothing. I don't understand why that was the famous scene.
Well, this is what we've lost with modern filmmaking.
It's true.
Is subtleties. Little subtleties. That like endear you to the character, that don't have to be flashy. There doesn't have to be a million camera cuts. It's just about the purity of male stripping.
That's true. It doesn't have to be Avengers Endgame. It can just be men humping each other in line to get their welfare checks.
Yeah. And that's what I Take My Clothes Off to me has always been. Not these flashy Vegas shows or their doodads and their whatnots.
I can't think of anything farther from Avengers Endgame than drunk British men humping each other in line to get their welfare checks. I can't think of anything farther away on the spectrum than that.
I think it tracks. I think you could find some connections, like the capes,
mm-hmm.
and that's about it.
Well, the fact that they changed the lyrics in Avengers to Hulk stuff.
This would be a good Avengers.
Hey, that was a good joke, right? That was a good joke.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
a great joke.
He gave me nothing. That was a good joke, though. It deserves something.
Sometimes I don't listen.
You want to sing it? I'll sing it. I want some Hulk stuff, baby, this evening. We're humping right now. We're air humping.
Well, I think that would be a great scene for an Avengers movie where you
Thank
have a bunch
you.
Of Avengers in a line and they're air humping people in
right.
front of them.
They're
and,
getting their welfare checks, yeah.
Hulk stuff. Well, they're unemployed because there's no crime to fight, and this is the start of an Avengers movie.
That's yeah. The movie starts with them being like, "We solved all crime, and now we're unemployable." And now they're in the line to get their pogey and Hulk stuff. You know, the Weird Al Yankovic cover Hulk stuff, because I'm assuming he exists in the Marvel universe. He's singing, and they're all air humping, even the Hulk, and he's like, oh, this is my song, or whatever, however he talks.
The repo men have come and taken their secret caves away, and all they're left with is standing in line mm-hmm. to get some welfare.
Oh, me no get no residuals from Hulk stuff. I got a bad contract, no residuals.
Marvel.
Marvel, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what Marvel wants at the beginning of their new huge film that they probably spent a couple hundred million on, is just bad mouthing themselves.
Much like Steve Ditko, I got screwed out of my contracts. I get for Hulk stuff, sorry.
They're calling it the next Enron.
They're calling me the next N-word. I don't know what that means. All the kids are saying it on TikTok. I don't know what it means.
Man, send us a voicemail, please.
Yeah, Hulk, please, if you're out there, send us a voicemail. Please, Hulk. We love you, please.
We love you, please.
I will say, the scene where the repo men... you know what? I did laugh at one point in the movie, and that's when the repo men come the first time to take Tom Wilkinson's stuff, all the strippers are in the house getting naked in front of each other, I guess just to, like, compare sizes or whatever. And then the repo men come in, and they all come out in their underwear, and they're like, get the hell out of here. The guys are like, okay, yeah, sorry, guys, we're leaving. That was pretty funny. I like that part.
Yeah, that was really funny, because what else are you going to do? I mean, these guys are repo men. They don't have souls, but they do know when to get out of a room.
Yeah, they're not going to fight a bunch of naked, greased-up chaps. In you know, some guy's living room. That's not a good look for them.
I'm sure they've dealt with, like, a variety of terrible things that people do to get them to not take
yeah.
their things,
yeah.
like guns and knives
oh, yeah.
and yelling and scratching. But five greasy men in their underwear coming out of the room and politely telling you, but strongly, to leave mm-hmm. is definitely one of them.
You know what? And there's an even funnier joke right before that when they're like, Tom Wilkins is like, I only owe like 127 quid or whatever. And the guy goes, yeah, well, that's all this is going to fetch secondhand. And he goes, but it's not secondhand. And the repo man goes, well, now it is. And just like picks up his TV and starts to walk out. Like, I guarantee.
Oh, he has that locked yeah. and loaded every place he goes to.
Oh, yeah. And they get in the van and they high five each other over that great joke. And like, man, I love your secondhand joke, man. It's so funny.
Yeah, they love each other and then they kiss.
Of course, much like the ginger and the and lunchbox, they fall in love. For some reason, that happens. That kind of comes out of left field that those two guys just fall in love with each other, and you go, okay, well, I mean, that's okay. Why? But all right, cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I didn't see it coming from a mile away. There's nothing really done with it later on either.
No.
Other than the other guys are cool with it, but make a joke about it.
Yeah, well, Fred Flintstone's got to make a joke about it, of course. He's uncomfortable with his own sexuality. He hates his body. So you think he's going to be comfortable with homosexuality? No, he hates the way he looks. He's not going to be happy for people who are happy. That's ridiculous. He's got to take the piss out of him.
Yeah, he's got to take the piss. He's got to take the piss into next week.
Oh, yeah. I love at the end when they're about to like go out and do their performance, and it's like Robert Carlyle's son runs into the back, and he's like, hey, Dad. He's like, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. And he goes, Dad, I can't miss this. I want to see your dinger.
But it's with a joyful enthusiasm.
Yeah, he loves it.
You got to respect that.
He loves it.
He loves everything about it.
What did you think of the climactic dance? And I mean, putting the climax in climactic.
Honestly, I thought it was absolutely wonderful. It's exactly what my palate deserved and needed after watching the other male stripping movies. It's right down the middle, choreographed piece, and right down to the nitty and the gritty.
You know what? I agree. I was like watching it. I was like, oh, this is probably the best stripping scene we've had all month. The other ones had
which
flash.
Is crazy.
I know. Well, that's why we ended with the full Monty, because it's the king of the male stripper movies. Like, the other movies have flash. The other movies have Twitch and Bolo. You know, there's memorable performances in all the other movies, but this one is like well done and like. Like you said, well choreographed and like cheeky and fun and like there's and then it's also got a sexy element to it, and when they show their disgusting flat asses, and you know, it's just there's a lot. It's kind of hits all the points that you want out of a male strip scene. Thought it was great.
Yeah, it's well shot too, and it's not absolutely perfect either. You can see the realness of it. You can see like the joy of it. And it's also, like, just real stripping with real men and their real bodies.
You can see that they're all drunk because they had to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they snuck the booze in.
Well, and the extras, they're hammered, all 50 of them.
Well, they had to show their dinger.
And it was cold. It was cold that day. Sure. Again, sure, Hugo. Sure it was. But, you know, apparently it was cold.
Apparently it was cold.
So there...
I thought it was a weird shoehorn at the end to have the main character not want to go on stage.
Yeah, I agree. It just kind of like comes out of nowhere that he's like that he just decides like, I don't want to do this anymore. And they're like, okay, well, first of all, this is your idea. Second of all, we're like 4 feet from going on stage, so get out there. Like the fact that they just go, okay, that's fine, instead of being like, no, get out here and show everyone your dinger, pal. You don't get to back out now. You're not gonna. How are you gonna pay for your son at this point? You're not gonna get a cut of this if you back out.
And you made it so clear that this guy's a coward and a terrible human being. There is like 2.5 minutes left in this movie. Just let him have his moment and not be a coward anymore.
Yeah, it really kind of like takes all the wind out of his sails. Where you just go, oh, I don't really like you. I mean, I didn't like you the entire movie, Robert Carlyle, but now I guess I thought you were going to get some redemption or something, but no, you're just trash even at the end. Like, to the point where your son has to be like, Dad, go out there and show those women your dinger. Like, come on, Dad, get out there. Come on, please. I want to see you. You're doing this for me, Dad. Like, that's the whole reason you're doing this goddamn thing.
Like, he is such a chode. I don't even know if his kid's going to get his 100 quid back.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They have to pay 100 quid to book the club, and his son goes, like, his 11-year-old son goes to the bank and empties out his bank account to give him that money. And he's like, I know you're going to pay me back, Dad. Do you? I don't know. I don't think he's going to do it. They made up the numbers initially. Like, when they went to the Chippendales thing, and then they're talking about it after, and the guys are like, well, I mean, how many women were there? And he's like, oh, 1,000. It was like, no, there wasn't. Like, they weren't performing at like a baseball stadium. They were performing in a pub. There was maybe 200 people there. Maybe. Maximum.
Very large pub, but still a poop.
Oh, yeah, exactly, right? And yeah, and the fact that they're just like, oh, well, 10,000, we're going to make 10,000 quid. All right, good luck to you. Good luck to you, guys.
I would go to see this. If there was a male review like that coming to my town of normalish guys doing a very well choreographed number, I would definitely maybe go see it.
Man, well, here you're in luck because there was a live stage adaptation of The Full Monty. There was like a successful, like, probably not Broadway, but like, well, maybe Broadway, I don't know. But like a that kind of show, that level of show that existed for a while. I don't know if it still does, but it definitely was a thing. So, like, do you have to show your dinger if you're in that show? Because, like, does every performance end with all of them just being like, wah, here it is, the full Monty. This is what you paid for, here it is.
I assume they're wearing a bodysuit with a dinger and balls drawn on it.
Oh, that'd be so disappointing.
Be like if it was just like a skin-colored leotard with, you know, marker on it.
Okay, so this stage show has not been done since 2002, so never mind.
Well, it made it like 4 years, it sounds.
That's true. They did pretty good. I'm scrolling to the bottom to see if they get their dingers out.
And dingers.
Yeah, I don't know.
You got to do a lot of scrolling to find out if dingers were out. That's not something you put at the top of the page.
Well, that's certainly true, yeah. I'm not seeing, like, if, you know, nothing about dingers or anything like that, so I don't know.
What a disappointment the internet is sometimes.
Patrick Wilson was in the original run of it. Oh, it was.
I don't know who that is.
It was Broadway. It was on Broadway. That's insane. You would know Patrick Wilson if you saw him. He's in like horror movies and stuff like that. You'd know him. You'd know Patrick Wilson. You'd recognize him.
Yeah, I know him and love him.
Yeah, you know him and you love him. You've seen him in the Full Monty Broadway production.
Ooh, he was in Phantom of the Opera.
Hey. anything else? Anything else we need to talk about for the Full Monty?
I don't know. I think we can probably summarize. I had a delightful experience. I didn't take much notes because I got caught into the movie, which I think is a good sign. I think despite all the insanity of it, it comes together in this very palatable, fun movie that's a little bit different. What do you think of the movie?
I liked it, despite not finding it funny and finding it very depressing. I thought it was like an enjoyable romp, and like the titular Full Monty is a delight. That last strip scene is great, and it's like the best male stripping that we've seen in cinema. And that bar has not been, you know, breached yet. It's still the high water mark. And that last shot of all their dumpy, like, Hank Hill asses just on stage while lights shine at them was a haunting visage that I will see in my nightmares. 10 out of 10, love the Full Monty. Loved May I Take My Clothes Off.
Yeah, it's wrapping up. I think enjoyable romp is like the perfect description of this entire movie. It summarizes the time, the place, and what's happening. It's perfect. I am sad to see May I Take My Clothes Off go, but I love to watch her leave.
Hey. Oh, real quick, there's a scene where the two main guys are walking down the street and a woman walks by, and as she walks by, they go, ah, she's an 8, maybe a 9. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was pretty terrible.
Yeah. Well, I love you.
I love you.
I love you, please. We love you, please.
Please.
Get it. God. Get it. Hawk stuff, baby. The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys. Hold up, it's Pure Boys.
Yeah, I got two throats.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys. Hold up, it's Pure Boys.
Say what?